This is Srinivas Rao, the host of the Vistage podcast series. Today, I'm speaking with Meg Cadu Hirschberg, a columnist at Inc. magazine whose column Balancing Acts focuses on work-life balance issues in an entrepreneurial setting. She's also the author of the book For Better or For Work. Meg, thanks so much for taking the time to join us and share some of your insights with the Vistage listeners this morning.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to ask you the very first question, which I have for you, and that is, what are the common challenges that entrepreneurs face when it comes to balancing family and business life?
The two, of course, obviously, the two main pulls that against having a balanced family life are money and time, because all new businesses require way more of both, usually, than the entrepreneur anticipates. So a lot of the early negotiations, if I can put it that way, in terms of how the family is going to operate will revolve around, you know, how much of our savings is going to go into funding this business, how much of my time. And you know, the entrepreneur does their best to make an estimate of both, but unfortunately, usually both of those estimates fail. And therein lies the problem as the business continues to draw both a lot more of both critical resources than anticipated.
Mm-hmm. Are there things that people can do to sort of manage that or to sort of anticipate the issue of managing time and money or you know, the resources that get allocated towards the business in the early days?
Well, I would answer that yes and no, because they're, you know, entrepreneurs write business plans. They take into account everything that they possibly can. But of course, there's so much that's unforeseen, as any person in business understands. And the spouse needs to go into this understanding that that's going to be the case. Not to say that those discussions shouldn't happen. They, of course, should happen. But both entrepreneur and spouse should understand that to a large extent, these kinds of benchmarks are futile. And to make, you know, to do anything extraordinary, and I consider launching a successful business extraordinary. Anybody who can do it, you know, has really pulled something off that's, you know, a big achievement, is going to require a disproportionate amount of time and often resources, financial resources. So I would say go into it with that clear-eyed understanding. That said, once you're engaged in business building, certain compromises will have to be made. I mean, certain, and I don't think they have to be of large magnitude. Often it's the really small things that make a huge difference. For example, taking vacations. It doesn't have to be a two-week safari in Africa. It doesn't have to be expensive, long, or far away. But getting away from just physically removing yourself from your business and from your obligations, even if it's overnight or a couple of days with your spouse and or your children, you know, just to get away with the people you love, without smartphone, and that's a big caveat, without those kinds of interruptions, is very important. So I think small things, it's important to focus on small things. And I'll just throw one more thing in, that with my husband, who started his own company, for us, we discovered even if we just took a 15-minute walk down the block on a regular basis without interruption, without the smartphone, that made a big difference, just to connect even briefly, but on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're speaking to something that is actually a sort of an ongoing trend and something we're starting to see much more of in terms of studies around productivity and efficiency in the business world, which is unplugging and being disconnected. It goes so counter to conventional wisdom, yet the results that people are producing from sort of these new approaches to running a business have been stellar.
Yeah, I have seen some of those studies. And, you know, I myself have, in the course of writing this book and the column and how busy I've been, though I'm not an entrepreneur, I've had a certain taste of that addictiveness to being online and kind of in, you know, engaged constantly, not wanting to miss things, wanting to get things back as quickly as possible, requests and responses. And, you know, of course, it's magnified 100-fold for somebody who's trying to make a business run. Yet I think to the extent that we can all recognize that there is also an addictive nature to this, that, you know, just like any addiction, that we can step back and appreciate that the world's not going to fall apart, the business is not going to fall apart if you take that 15-minute walk and remove your mind. You don't have to be 100% intensely focused on a business 24/7 to make it successful. As a matter of fact, as you've just alluded to, that, you know, that kind of focus works against not just peace and harmony on the home front, but frankly the productivity of the business. And those two are greatly related, because if you are if your personal life is falling to tatters, your business is going to feel the effects.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. As somebody who's been married to a serial entrepreneur and somebody who's seen the journey of a successful entrepreneur, how do you keep your enthusiasm for a family member when the entrepreneur is struggling?
Well, now that's a tough one. my husband is also a serial entrepreneur, and recently he started a third business, and I just looked at him and said, if you even breathe a word of starting another business again, I'm out of this marriage. I can live with a lot of things, but not that. So I was pretty forceful in my clear in how I felt about that, because I think as the spouse, once you've been through it once, and then the entrepreneur comes back and says, you know, hey, I have an idea, because entrepreneurs by their nature, they have ideas. They like to fill voids, and when they see one, things just appear to them. They're very creative thinkers, and they usually have a lot of energy and a lot of optimism, and so they think they go from thinking, gee, that might be a good idea to, you know, that's a good idea and I'm going to start doing it right now. So I think that once you've been through it once with your entrepreneur spouse, the non-entrepreneur has every right to say, hey, wait a minute. I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to squelch your dream here, but we've got to do it differently. If you're going to do it again, we've got to do it differently. And this is, you know, these are the ways that I'd like to do it differently. And then whatever the issues were in the first time, whether they were cash flow or they were time crunch issues, or, you know, maybe the person should have had a partner and they didn't, you know, these are things that are legitimately need to be discussed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's interesting because the very nature of entrepreneurship is uncertainty, but I think that you really can kind of avoid a lot of the family drama and challenges by talking about some of the things you had mentioned talking about. One of the other things I've heard you talk about elsewhere is the involvement of children in your business. Can you expand on that briefly and talk about how you can involve children in the business in a way that's mutually beneficial?
The discussion of children and business ended up being that topic ended up forming the longest chapter in my book. And the reason that wound up being that way, I didn't intend it that way, but it's a subject that really haunts entrepreneurs and their spouses usually is that time crunch when it comes to children. And often the insecure income and the vagaries of income that you can't necessarily rely on income, particularly in the startup years. And yet you're not just risking your own the stability of your own life, but you're risking potentially the stability of these vulnerable young people who had nothing to do with your decision to start a business. So, you know, all of these factors make for a very often very dicey situation in terms of how, you know, the kind of gut level sorrow that many entrepreneurs feel about being absent from their children's lives and exposing them to unnecessary and sometimes, you know, unwarranted financial risk. But, you know, that's all compensated for or can be compensated for by the tremendous benefit and value that a business can bring to the life of a child. And we saw, you know, we have three kids. They're now all around college age. But they really profited from being associated with my husband's business. They had their first jobs in the business. They learned about what it is to have a dream and you know, make it happen, the hard work that's required to make it happen. They have a kind of economic literacy that their friends really don't have. And by that, I mean, you know, what does it take to think up a product, bring it to market, package it? They understand that, my kids, because they've seen it happen over and over again with our company's products. So, and they have a lot of pride in their association with our company. So there are a lot of potential compensations for children associated with a business.
Mm-hmm. Well, given that entrepreneurs tend to live and breathe their businesses 24/7, how do you create boundaries between your work and your life? Because it's funny, as an entrepreneur, there's kind of no distinction between the two in a lot of times.
No, absolutely. And I think, again, it's important to understand that. It took me many, many years to get that, living with my husband. But again, I think there's so much to be gained around the edges, if you will. I mean, there is no such thing as strict work-life boundaries that other people who are wage earners have. They go to work, and that's when they're working. They come home, and that forms the delineation between work and life. And obviously, for entrepreneurs, it's just one big, messy life. So that, you know, that doesn't happen. But that said, it's really important to make those, you know, carve out those small moments with your spouse and your family and be really diligent about doing that, really committed to doing that, and have a profound understanding that, you know, of the importance of being fully present with your family members. So things like, you know, and this is something we do in our house, I ban, you know, cell phones, all smartphones from, or any kind of electronics from the dinner table. Something as basic as that. Mm-hmm. Is just critical. You know, I think keeping smartphones out of the bedroom is another example, because really it's these technologies, you know, obviously they enable us to respond quickly and efficiently, but they also create the need to do that. So I think putting boundaries around those is a critical first place to start. And also, as I mentioned earlier about vacations, I think for entrepreneurs especially, entrepreneurs tend to say, you know, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, my business can't be without me, even for 2 days. But well, you know what, that's not true. Or if that's true, there's something wrong. You know, you've got to be able to make even small amounts of time away from it all with your family. So I think, you know, measures like that around the edges, they don't necessarily change the way you live your daily life. I mean, there's frankly, many days the business is going to win, not your family. But other days should be days when your family wins your time and attention. So the idea is that in the net, it's not gonna work on a day-to-day basis. We're all out of balance. Let's just face it, you know. We're all out of balance on a day-to-day basis. But hopefully in the net, everything, your business and your family and your personal life will get the time that it needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that even in my own entrepreneurial efforts, I've had to realize is that it's not the same as a day job, and that there are going to be weekends when you work. Saturdays and Mondays have no meaning anymore. You just kind of have to really make a strong effort to find that balance.
Well, right, and the key part of that is understanding that it really is important. It's not just, you know, it's every bit as critical as making your business work. Your life has to work, or your business won't work in the end.
Well, Meg, thanks so much for taking the time to join us and share some of your insights with our Vistage listeners. This has been really interesting and insightful.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure, really.
Can you tell us a little bit more about where they can find out more about you?
Yes, absolutely. You can read, well, the best place to go is my website, which is meghirschberg.com. And on my website, I have all the columns I've written, the Balancing Acts columns for Inc. magazine. I have the introduction and the one chapter from my book, For Better or For Work. So you can read those to decide if you are interested in reading the whole book. And I have a ton of interviews from that I've done with entrepreneurs over the course of the last year or so related to the topics that we've discussed today, some fascinating interviews and insights from other entrepreneurs.
Excellent. Well, this has been Srinivas Rao, the host of the Vistage podcast series. And for those of you listening, until next time, good luck with your business.